God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
You can build a. It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Yeah, greetings, welcome. Here we are again in the saucer pod, hovering. We're always hovering somewhere over something. Tonight we're hovering above the country of France, where the ruling junta of Zio ogres are up in arms about a hand on the arm that they've decided is a reverse Nazi salute. This makes me curious. If it's a reverse Nazi salute, then shouldn't it be completely acceptable to them since it's a reverse? Yet they're all outraged about this. This courageous French comic who has an eye for the truth and has been nailing the ruling junta in his act. So they want to close down his ability to perform in France. Now, France is that country of liberté, égalité, fraternité, and the French spirit is not going to take this kind of crap. France is on the edge of revolution for a number of reasons, which is not my job description to explore because we don't want to get all that socio-political here. We like to keep the radio show more focused on the esoteric, but we got to throw in a certain amount of the temporal for contrast. The worm has turned. The worm is turning, and the monstrous lies and fabrications are all getting exposed, and the liars and manufacturers of these loathsome and dark fantasies are being confronted with the irrefutable. There's going to be some amount of hell to pay as those who are inspired in their efforts by the King of Hell come up against the King of Heaven for whom he works in the first place. So what happens is these sad psychopathic clowns are going to wind up hemmed in on both sides. On the one hand, by the one they presumed was going to have their back, and on the other hand, the Supreme Judge whose ministrations they thought they could avoid by sheltering under the shadow of the Prince of Darkness. But even the Prince of Darkness is transformed into an angel of light at the given moment, so be not deceived. Well, obviously they were deceived, as one always is, when one's sole pursuit is in the interest of self-gain, motivated by self-interest. The key reason there is such a thing as anti-Semitism is different than what most people suppose. The prevailing interpretation is that it is an irrational hatred of the world's smallest minority for no reason whatsoever. Of course, that's BS, or they wouldn't have been kicked out of every country in the world at least once. Or maybe that's a big, constantly repeating coincidence. Anyway, the real reason for the creation of the term anti-Semitism is that the Ashkenazis who created it were aware that they were not Semitic, and also that the Palestinians who lived on the land they coveted and subsequently stole were Palestinians, were Semitic. They intended all this long before they ever did it. They wanted to replace the Palestinians with themselves. They intended to revise the historical record and change the names of every locale and town in the lands that they intended to occupy. So they very much wanted the rest of the world to associate the term anti-Semitism with the fabrication that they are Semitic. That's what it's all about, historical fraud, DNA fraud, actually. They're real good at historical fraud and the propagation of myth. One of the reasons they wanted war with Iraq was so that they could steal the antiquities that may possibly have provided evidence counter to whatever falsehoods they're pushing. They've been busy little hornets over there in the Middle East, performing genocide as public policy, murdering at will anyone who opposes them, and gunning down children without being charged or censored. They've had quite a ride over the last 60-some years, but now the tide is turning, and the world is turning against them. It's happening all over the planet. What's even more troublesome for them is the hidden resistance of all those people that they put into economic and psychological bondage through promises, enticements, threats, and fear. The resentment is simmering away unseen below the surface. And there are all kinds of people who may not show it on the outside, but who are ready to jump into alliance with a few courageous souls who have brought about awakening and awareness over the course of time and who are operating according to the cosmic imperative that channels through every person willing to permit the passage. It's a new day, people, and we've got to see with new eyes. We need to let go of our irrational fears and embrace the security and protective intentions of the benevolent cosmos, personified in the supreme personality of God. God is real, and so are we, if that truth is resident within us. If not, we are unreal. We only have meaning and identity in the light of the luminous giver of light and life. Everything outside of that has no meaning. Everything outside of that is meaningless. Poor humanity. Lost on the dangerous seas of materialism, their attention darts from one thing to the other in the constant search for acquisition and entertainment. What these things do is take the place of the all-important. They divert the attention from that which scares the ordinary souls into near petrification. It's why so many people are so manic in having their attention taken up at all times, and if they are not deeply immersed in some trivial pursuit, they are racing on their way to it. All of this is a defense against the silence of one's own thoughts and a prevention against finding themselves upon that mysterious road of self-discovery that opens up within when one has managed to silence the roar of the world around them. As people get into old age, it is quite common for them to have both the television and radio going at the same time. The airwaves have to be filled with uninterrupted sounds, for otherwise the silence falls, and out of the silence may well come the consideration of how little time is left to them. Ahead lies a yawning uncertainty. Behind them is a maze of memory, and they can no longer tell the difference between what actually happened and what they imagined took place. They become enfeebled and hesitant about movement and experiences. They want safe is what they want, and there is only one certitude of safe. Unfortunately, that certitude of safe is most demanding. It wants all of you, and most people can't understand that. Seems too confining. There is a suspicion they will lose their freedom, and they want their freedom even though they are most definitely not free in the first place, and wouldn't know what to do with it if they were. All of that is covered for the one who is engaged in the greatest relationship of them all, the most complete relationship of all, the most comprehensive, all points covered relationship. You become like that which you most consistently admire and emulate. Your subconscious takes care of this because you are sending constant messages about it down into the manufacturing area of your being. This is why we are all a product of our own industry. In most cases, this leads to a failed product. We are not craftspeople skilled enough to construct ourselves as we were meant to be. We don't have the blueprints nor the eyes of the cosmic draftsman to construct them. We don't know what the indictment is supposed to look like, but the master does, and that is whose hands we should leave the whole endeavor in. We don't trust this master simply because we do not trust ourselves. How can we trust ourselves when we find ourselves unable to leave our forming completely in the hands of the only one who knows what they're doing? The thing is that we think we know what we're doing, but of course we don't, and so we back up our fraudulent certainty with bluster and bravado. This is why so many of us lie, because the truth is not nearly so romantic or beautiful as we like to think it is. So we elaborate on the construct until it becomes nothing like what it is. This is why that eternal maxim, know thyself, is so powerful. It's the key to everything. I wonder a great deal why such a large body of the public is so resistant to reality. Why they hide behind the weight of institutions, cultural and political systems, religious systems, philosophical systems. It's all about having a false sense of security that they believe will be made real by the constant reinforcement of it. It's a primal thing. And one should know that the first chakra is concerned with survival, and then comically and ironically, the next one is concerned with reproduction. Of course, there's more than that to both of them, but these are the major qualities of each. Yes, I wonder about all of that, but sure enough, as I ponder, reason after reason comes to the surface, and a lot of it has to do with that social aspect. They're all social creatures. They look at others as affirmations of themselves according to the measurements of success that they have mutually agreed to as being important. It's a fact that there is a much smaller number of hermits and mystics than there is a boisterous crowd. Look at the millions who are crowded into cities. Soon enough, there will be more people in cities than in the countryside. In the cities, nature has been stripped away, and so the unnatural is celebrated as natural. Cities are not natural, so it is inevitable that they will fall. If you bought into the time-sensitive aspects of life, you're as temporary as the circumstances you find yourself in. If instead you opt out for the timeless, then eternity beckons. This is not an easy road, and so there are few souls upon it. One has to learn to accommodate their sense of aloneness. Most people cannot come to terms with this, so they manifest situations where they won't be alone. They become dependent, and then codependent, and out of that well of confusion, many a pathology proceeds. Yes, indeed. If you're a resident in a sick culture, you will inevitably become sick. How can it be otherwise? How can it be otherwise? You will become sick, and then more and more sick because your circumstances are massive generators of sickness. This is why I often compare the world to a massive outdoor and indoor insane asylum. Most people are crazy, but since there are so many of them, they usually look like they are acting in accord with each other, the whole scene takes upon itself the semblance of normalcy. You're surrounded by it. You got no comparison to anything outside of it, so this must be how it is and how it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be like this. This is what it is generated into. Okay, so maybe this is what it's supposed to be because everything that went into it made it this way, but it could be very, very different. Then it occurs to me that there are some of us living in a different world. I mean, all of us live in a world of our own creation. The majority of us embrace a similar template, but some of us decidedly dance to a different drummer. And it is up to each of us to determine if that is better or worse than whatever else is available. Is what the great collective accepts, is that what's really best for us? Or is one much more advantaged by a singularity of pursuit? I hold to the latter unequivocally, but that's how I'm made, or have been made, since I turned myself over to my maker and seek to be shaped according to the will of the ineffable. I have no idea where that leads or how it will turn out, but it seems to be the best course for me. I don't know what I'm doing on my own. I never did. I only thought I did. It's the hardest thing in the world to let go of all concerns and ambitions, to let go of the necessity to make plans, and all attendant engagements that everyone else gets up to. I see the futility of it all. At times I haven't wanted to accept this. I've been as willful as anyone else. Yeah. But I've been lucky in that regard, since my willfulness often led expediently to failure. Success would have been a bad thing. Yeah. That sounds so irrational in relation to what so many other people think, and that's what we are told by behind the veil, those of us who are behind the veil, and in the land of occult understanding, occult means hidden. And we are told that we must swim in the opposite direction of all the other fish and not disturb them as we go by. Think about it. You got to go, and that's like that phrase, walk in always contrary to the world. Forget who said that. Some great writer. But anyway, this is something that we have to keep in mind. If you're emulating and copying and simulating what you're seeing all around you, well, you're part of it. You are inextricably wedded to that. If you're emulating the invisible, if you're being inspired by your higher self, you will evolve into your higher self. That's a natural thing to do. Evolution is natural, is it not? Well, there are all forms of evolution. Spiritual evolution can be increased to a very, very rapid rate by an intensity of focus and a sustained persistency. And just as I love to repeat this, what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, success is speedy for the energetic. And it's like wanting to play the guitar. If you play the guitar 10 hours a day, you're going to be able to play the guitar much better and much sooner than if you played the guitar once a week. Or if, like me, you put it down for 6 years and then pick it back up again. Then you realize you've just surely I've forgotten the lyrics to most of my songs, actually. Not to mention the chord structures. So I'm busy relearning this stuff now. Just, you know. But I'd have been doing it all the time. I'd remember all of it now, and I'd be so much better at it. But that got taken away from me for some reason for 6 years. But at least I'm happy that it's back, I guess. Yeah. Many people think it's okay to meddle in the lives of others. They're caught up in the desire to save the human race, or the planet, or the whales, or all kinds of things. But really, they should be focused on saving themselves. And if they can't do that, they're not going to save anyone or anything else either. They think you can tell people things, and naturally they will see your angle. But of course, they will see it from their own perspective. So it won't be the same. And most of them will see it through the lens of their self-interest. And the time often comes when their self-interest comes into conflict with whatever it was you had to say. This is why so many great masters cultivate silence. True silence speaks much more powerfully and eloquently than words. However, of course, I could not do a radio broadcast unless I were using words. So here, some compromise has been made. Anyway, well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. That said, Godspeed and God protect you all. Hare Krishna, Om Amitabha, greetings, Lord Ganesha. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. La ilaha il allahu. Much love to you, Tara and Lady Nature. And as always, carry on, Bakuwala. Aloha and Haru! God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIG Radio Network of Stations.